Good morning, Connecticut. And to our friends across the Sound, it's Director of Public Affairs, John Vokette. Thanks for tuning in to Connoisseur Media's award-winning public affairs program for the people, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. Today, For the People is going to get closer to free with the first of two planned interviews ahead of the 2022 Closer to Free ride coming up on September 10th in the greater New Haven area to support research and care at Smilo Cancer Hospital and Yale Cancer Center. We're going to speak with a surviving spouse of a Smilo cancer patient who is presenting Beth's Bash to honor his late wife next Sunday, with 100% of the proceeds of the event going to the Smilo Cancer Hospital. Stay tuned to find out how to be part of it. Then we'll touch base with the executive director of the Connecticut Association of School-Based Health Centers, an advocacy and networking organization committed to increasing access to quality health care for all children and adolescents in Connecticut schools. Does your child enjoy the resources of a school-based health center? If not, stick around and find out more. And then we're going to close talking financial literacy, community outreach, and financial management with Connex Nonprofit Credit Union. We're going to hear from one of their top executives about some of the ways young people, college students, and adults can manage their money and credit more effectively, and bring you a few tips that might save your child or college student from getting into financial rough waters. We'll be right back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vokette, right after this reminder. The Foundation for Financial Independence, a national nonprofit organization, will be providing an educational workshop on Social Security September 13th at 6 p.m. at the Wallingford Parks and Recreation Department headquarters. If you're between the ages of 56 and 70, you should register and bring a friend, loved one, or spouse. Seats are limited, so sign up for the F4FI workshop by calling 888-771-0400 and learn more about the Foundation for Financial Independence at F4FI.org. Well, as we said in our introduction, we're hoping between this week and next week to bring you a couple of segments focusing on this year's Closer to Free ride. On September 10th, the Closer to Free ride returns in full force with five scenic, professionally supported routes and hundreds of dedicated volunteers taking care of every detail. There'll be an opening ceremony and a big finish line festival at the Yale Bowl. And as always, 100% of the dollars raised by riders and volunteers go to research and care at Smilo Cancer Hospital and Yale Cancer Center. I have been a patient of Smilo Cancer Hospital, thankfully now almost 10 years cancer-free. Sadly, one of my dearest and best friends, going back now to high school in the mid-70s, Mark Orsini, is on the line with me. And I had the pleasure of seeing Mark fall in love with his dear Beth and attended their wedding, and sadly received some terrible news too quickly after that. About Beth, who sadly we lost. But Mark is a shining example of the type of volunteer that comes to the table with a really unique way of giving back to the Closer to Free ride and the Smilo Yale organization, and honoring and remembering Beth at the same time. Next Sunday, as we play this, we are going to be convening with Beth's Bash 2. Yes, the second annual benefit for the Closer to Free ride in honor of Beth Orsini, who also is the sister of another dear friend, Leo LaValle. Mark, thanks for joining me today. Just a couple old buddies talking on the radio here, but I have to say, as much as being there to celebrate your wedding with Beth elevated me. It was tragic and a real gut punch to hear of her situation, her diagnosis, and kind of following the progress of that and all the ups and downs, as we know, cancer could bring. So thank you.
Thank you for having me, John. Yeah, and thank you for all you're doing as well.
Yeah.
And ours is a love story, and you were there for the beginning of it. We met through my cousin Rachel, you know, in this world of online dating. It was very, very old-fashioned, and it worked. You know, we're both a little older in life. We started dating, and it wasn't long before, boom, we were at a wedding. And it was a festive event, and it was a storybook romance. It was wonderful. That was in 2014. 2018, she was diagnosed with cancer. First was endometrial, and we went through some radiation. And then we were told we were clear. A year later, came back, you know, with the liver and the lung. And from that point, it was always a step forward and two steps back. And all the time, we were a SMILO family. And I say that because it is a family. When you go to SMILO, yes, you receive treatments, but it's care. And care is describes the culture of the doctors that research, the nurses who heal. And when you park the car, that sense of relief begins to happen. And even though, you know, we lost Beth last year in May of 21, it's easy for me to step away from this, but absolutely not. The fight continues, A, in her memory, for friends like you who have done well, and for everyone. You know, no one fights this alone. We're all in this together. And that's really what drives my mission, to be a fundraiser. With other, like 1,800 people all supporting the great work that's done in the SMILO culture.
And interestingly, my story and reflections on my experiences with SMILO in 2013 are so drastically different, because I had already been diagnosed, had the biopsy, the surgery, had already been through I'd already been scheduled for a course of radiation, but then was invited to participate in a study regarding the way that they stage the kind of cancer that I had at SMILO that was arranged through my my primary ENT doctor who diagnosed me. And so my experience was just you know, show up on the appointed day for the conference in order to find out if I qualified to be in the study, getting the phone call and email confirmation that I had qualified to be in the study and that my surgery was going to be scheduled for such and such a date and I should plan to be in recovery till the next morning. So my entire experience was kind of encapsulated in about a 4-hour visit on one day, and then about a 20-hour visit on another day, and then two follow-ups, and that was it. But I echo your sentiments about feeling part of the family from the moment you drive up to the valet and you get that friendly welcome. The environment there really is very accepting and healing and soothing. And it's wonderful to hear that for the extent of time that you and Beth had to spend with them, that it was such a positive experience. And I know that if I randomly called any other patient of SMILO, 999 out of 1,000 would probably say the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. Like you said, you go in there, you're greeted by a volunteer. Well, first the valets. The entire atrium has a very peaceful dynamic to it. Mm-hmm. Everything about SMILO is a culture of caring and a culture of healing. Not every story plays out, you know, but I still have positive. I spent many nights there myself staying overnight with her, too. Mm-hmm. And they treat you like a guest. You know, you're not just, a patient. Mm. The individuals, I always said doctors prescribe, nurses heal, and that's evident down there.
Yeah.
All the support staff. And we were never left. We had questions. We would email our nurse navigator. Boom, always something. You're never left behind, never forgotten about. And as people like yourself have done well, you don't break that chain, because, and that's part of my idea of doing what I do, because I could simply put up a fundraising page and get
let the meter, yeah, let the meter run.
Right, exactly. But a gathering, people need to be together and feel the love, feel the support, and just, you know, have a place to be together. Exactly it.
So Beth's Bash 1 last year was fairly hastily put together, but you ended up presenting a very respectable donation ahead of the ride, the Closer Free Ride last year.
I think we did almost $4,000. Which was amazing.
In just a few hours.
In just a few hours. And now I have the benefit of promoting it like crazy. The Witch Doctor is the perfect venue because it's a venue and community where dogs and kids are welcome. Part of Factory Square in Southington, which hosts many other great, great businesses. I've had great support from the town. Many musicians are going to be playing there too. And I've had a lot of people come forward with raffle prizes. It's going to be an afternoon, and it's indoors, outdoors, if also the weather is nice. And I think we are going to raise a nice amount that I look forward to presenting to Smile as my contribution to.
Yeah, and I'm so proud and honored that you asked me to also be part of it, and I thank you for
John,
that.
Look forward. Nothing without you.
Yeah, I look forward to having hopefully a number of For the People listeners who may have themselves been touched by the goodness of the Smilo Yale organization, or maybe who have participated in the Closer to Free Ride, or are just survivors like you and me, whether they have a loved one who lost the battle or is still fighting, or they themselves are. We would welcome them to Beth's Bash. So as you hinted, it's at Witch Doctor in Southington, a great organization that really gives back. I have to say, I've seen a number of other fundraisers that are being held at this organization. So kudos to
wonderful
them.
Place.
Let's give folks the details. So if they want to come out and be part of this, if not to just enjoy it and remember Beth, maybe to look at an idea of how they might be able to generate an event themselves in memory of their loved one.
Absolutely. We have the benefit of being along the trail, first of all, where many people bike and walk and run. So if you're out and about, pop in for 5 minutes, stay 5 hours, whatever you want to do there too. We're going to have music throughout the day, hosted by you, John. Thank you. We'll have a children's program first with my friend Jackie, who will gather all the kids and do a couple kids' songs. Then we have some amazing other talent. We have at 2 o'clock, we have Terry Wachance, a wonderful singer-songwriter from the area, a band called Inner Groove at 3 o'clock, and a local band, the Mudflaps, at 4. And all interspersed with raffles. A lot of great prizes we have, some closer to free swag, all kinds of things from local businesses. And I just want to create a place where you could just pop in, be part of the energy, support the good work of Smilo, support each other. And for anybody who could still sign up and be a fundraiser, you just go on to, you could register, you could start a team, you could be an individual, you could join a team. Every dollar, no matter where it comes from, fuels the energy of research and care. So any way we can just gather up the funds and the resources, it's all going to the same place for the same greater good. So I would encourage anyone, you know, just to simply get up a page and email your friends, Facebook your friends. And, you know, just we're all struggling these days, but some have struggled more than others. And we just need to give up a little bit for the benefit of them.
So a Witch Doctor is along the linear park rail to trail in Plantsville. Right.
Yes, it is. Yep.
And so if folks are coming with kids, optimal for them would be to show up earlier than later, since there's going to be
exactly.
a kids music
kids program.
Program.
Yeah. Anytime, of course.
So what is so so this what time do things get started there?
About 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, and maybe the kids program around 1.
All right.
And then roughly every hour would be a new performer. And every break, you and I will be pulling some raffle prizes, too. And gathering up a lot of generous donations have come in for that, too. So a lot of cool things we have.
So that'll be Sunday, August 28th at Witch Doctor in the Plantsville area of Southington for anyone who's interested in coming out. Mm-hmm. And we hope you'll come. If not, you can visit the Beth's Bash site on Facebook, right?
Fetch Bash 2022.
And from there, if folks somehow might want to get involved and provide some support directly to the cause or the organization as a whole, they can link off of that and learn more, right?
Exactly, too. That has all the data about the event, and plus there's other stuff we can link to, or people either text me or you too, or contact us, and we'll put them in the right direction. But Closer to Free, I think it's .org. And that's a great place to visit. You can sign up as a fundraiser. There's so many ways one can contribute to the great work they're doing down there and to support life and liveliness.
And if people are interested in learning more about the ride, maybe participating themselves, they can still go to ridecloser2free.org.
Yes.
And I can't let you go without hearing how your riding is going.
As a matter of fact, I'm dressed to go to Planet Fitness. I'm riding virtually from the bikes over there until my own health improves a bit. My goal was 100 miles. I am 96 miles into it. I'll knock about two or three more off of that this afternoon. And by the time we meet at the bash, I would have my 100-mile goal. And that's just one stop on the way to my again getting out into the world again like that, too. But any way you could do something, you know, any way, shape, or form, you know, just that's my thing, too. Just I want to ride virtually. Until I could ride in the actual event, maybe next year or the year after too. But so far, thanks. I'm on my goal, and I'm 6 miles away from my goal.
Well, I'm confident you'll definitely reach it by a week from today as we play
Thank
this
you.
Interview. And in closing, in the last minute or so that we have, just remind people why, if they are suddenly hit with that 1,000-pound anvil of a diagnosis where somebody tells them that they have cancer, remind them quickly about how well you were treated by the folks at the Sumilo Cancer Hospital and Yale Cancer Center.
I cannot say enough about how wonderful the treatment is. If someone hears that word, that C word in their life of cancer, of course it's going to be a blow, a shock. But immediately get the support and the care. And treatment is a task, but the support and the care is what they support. It's the whole person, mind, body, and spirit. There is hope. There is support. And just connect with the right people, and the community will just come out in your favor and help you. So no one will fight this alone. So if someone's dealing with a diagnosis of themselves or family member, get into the support. That's all I could say. And Smilo is absolutely, I'm so proud to be part of that.
And we hope to see, all as many folks as possible joining us at Beth's Bash at the Witch Doctor Brewery in Plantsville, Southington, on Sunday the 28th. Bring the kids, bring the family, bring the pets. All the fun starts, especially the kids' part of the action, right at 1 o'clock. Come by and say hi to me and Mark, and it will be a great time for a great cause. And once again, we remind you, on September 10th, the Closer to Free Ride returns live and in full force. 5 scenic, professionally supported routes, volunteers taking care of every detail, an opening ceremony, finish line festival at the Yale Bowl, 100% of dollars raised by riders and volunteers like my guest this morning, Mark Orsini, go to research and care at Sumilo Cancer Hospital and Yale Cancer Center. Go to rideclosertofree.org to learn more about the organization and the ride. Go to Facebook for Beth's Bash 2022 to learn more about the event, and we hope to see you there. Thanks, Mark. So I think when I first met Melanie Wildlane on the phone, it was probably hours into her first day on the job as executive director of the Connecticut Association of School-Based Health Centers. So obviously, at that point, way back in March 2022, she wasn't necessarily ready for prime time yet. But, given a talented and industrious person a few months, and here we are. right here on the award-winning For the People. Melanie, thank you so much for joining us. So I know a lot of people are blessed here in Connecticut with a number of school-based health centers operating throughout districts all over the state, while others, many others, proportionately do not. The association, since for 27 years, has been providing advocacy and networking, committed to increasing access to quality health care for all children and adolescents in Connecticut schools. So beyond that, tell us a little bit more about that background. It's been quite a long time since that ribbon got cut down at New Haven's Wilbur Cross High School and the body shop opened, right?
Yes. Wow. You don't even need me today. It's we've come so far. You know, we started as this tiny association, really with a complete volunteer board that ran it, and became in 1996, got our nonprofit status, and about 14 years ago, brought on our first paid executive director, which has been a blessing in itself, to be able to have a full-time staff and to really take us to the next level. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of advocacy work around the expansion and sustainability of school-based health centers. We did start about our first school-based health center opened 30 years ago. And a little bit about a school-based health center. A school-based health center, for those who don't know, is an outpatient clinic inside a school or on the campus of a school that provides comprehensive primary health care. And it acts as a licensed outpatient clinic or a satellite of a hospital.
So running it almost exclusively, or I should say running in virtually every case in parallel with a school nurse or nurse's office.
Absolutely. That's where most of our referrals come from. We work in conjunction with the school nurse as well as the school support team. So because we provide not only medical but mental health and in some cases dental services, it's important to have those relationships with all of the school support staff because those are our referral agents. The difference between a school nurse and, let's say, our nurse practitioner or physician's assistant, depending on the setup of a school-based health center, is that our nurse practitioner / physician's assistant can not only assess the student, but they can diagnose and treat and do the follow-up care just like a primary practice would do. So that's a huge benefit, yeah. Right? So you don't, they never have to leave school.
So according to my notes, the Connecticut Department of Public Health funds around 90 school-based health centers and around a little over 20 communities across the state. But I think it's important to note that these are not the only school-based health centers. There are those that are funded within districts, right? And there are those that are either funded by municipal or regional health departments or other nonprofit health organizations or foundations.
That's exactly right. We don't have a one-size-fits-all for our school-based health centers, and so while the Department of Public Health funds 93 of our school-based health centers, there's about 200 throughout the state of Connecticut. And those are either fully comprehensive sites, which provide medical and behavioral health services, as well as sometimes dental, or they're what we call expanded health services, and they provide one service. So they may just provide mental health services, or they may just provide dental health services. But there's over 200 of them throughout the state.
And in many of these communities, for a lot of these students, sadly, these school-based health centers may be their frontline healthcare delivery agencies.
Absolutely. I mean, it's where they spend 25% of their day, 180 days a year, right? Mm-hmm. So they definitely come to us. Let me just say that we do not replace any primary care provider, but we work in conjunction with them. So if a student does have a primary care provider, we would possibly do the first service that if they have a cut or they have an infection or a stomach ache, and then we communicate with the primary care docs and make sure that they're fully in the know of what services were provided and what the follow-up care is.
You also have robust relationships with health systems that provide, if needed, emergency crisis intervention, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's so important. Medical, behavioral health, and dental. So yes, absolutely.
So let's hear a little bit about you. How did you come into this position? Were you involved in the medical field or in education? What brought you to the Connecticut Association of School-Based Health Centers?
Luck, really. I'm not going to lie. I started out in school-based health under Jessie White Forsay, who was our first. She started the association and was our first executive director, and I was a staff member under her as an outreach worker a very long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then she moved on and became, she was a program director and she became an executive director, and she sort of dragged me with her. And so an opportunity came about to be a program manager, and she pushed me to do it. And then a program director came about and she pushed me to do it. And so she's been my mentor and my confidant and my very good friend. And then she retired. And I didn't feel like I was at a point in my career where the executive director position was going to be a good fit for me. But we've had some transition here, and I said, you know what, this is it. I'm going to walk in Jesse's shoes, and I was at a point where I was confident enough and had enough skill set behind me to step in. And so apparently the association board agreed.
Well, that's great that you have sort of walked your way up to the leadership role from the very entry level. So it's easy for you to really communicate virtually everything that not only the association can do, but that what your clients, the school-based health centers, can do. But it's way more than just what goes on in terms of physical, mental, and dental healthcare delivery through these hundreds of health centers in Connecticut schools. As we mentioned in the introduction, there's also a lot of advocacy that is going on. So we're going to talk about that. What I'm going to ask you to do, if you would, Melanie, is to hold for just a moment. We're going to take just a very brief break, and we're going to come back and pick up the conversation with a look into the way the Connecticut Association of School-Based Health Centers put out some of its needs to the Connecticut legislature this year, and talk about any successes and plans that you have for the 2023 session, as well as reminding people who may not not have a school-based health center where their child is in school, how they can come to the association and learn more, including taking a series of webinars, just visiting your webpage and reading some fantastic testimonials from kids themselves who have benefited right. for health centers, and invite everybody to your annual conference and have them save that date in November. Stick with me. Folks, stick with us. We're going to be back and talk more about the growing number of school-based health centers and how they are helping our kids here in Connecticut and all our communities. We'll be right back. Hey, do you volunteer for or receive services from any of the hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots organizations in our region? Or maybe you're just looking for ways to help. If your favorite nonprofit is hosting a fundraiser or community building activity, or you'd like to find a nonprofit to support in your neighborhood, just go to our radio station website, hit the events tab, and find one, or discover some of the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm John Voquette, your public affairs director here at Connoisseur Media, and we'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. Hey, back to school season means that social gatherings like the homecoming dances, high school football games, and weekend parties are right around the corner for many teens. But for parents, this time of year provides an opportunity to have a meaningful conversation with your child about underage drinking. While this can be a difficult conversation to have, Family Talk About Drinking provides a free parent guide with helpful tips and resources on how to start the dialogue with your preteen or teenager. If you'd like to learn more, visit familytalkaboutdrinking.com. And we're back. Thank you, Melanie Wild-Lane, for quickly coming to the call today. She is Executive Director of the Connecticut Association of School-Based Health Centers, not only supporting hundreds of these unique health delivery organizations in parallel with nursing services in many Connecticut schools, but also working in terms of advocacy for the sustainability and growth of school-based health centers in Connecticut. So, Melanie, let's reflect a little bit about legislative priorities that were at the top of your list for the 2022 session, and a little bit about where you're going to go come 23.
So, I guess the one good thing that came out of the pandemic for us was that school-based health centers rose to the top of everyone's viewpoint. And, we continue to have a major mental health crisis. And school-based health centers have been able to really step in and be the safety net in the school, both in the schools and outside the schools. And so we really got noticed this year, and the legislation thankfully put together three major mental health bills, the first being House Bill 5001, and that really focused on school mental health and putting in some layers within the school to really advocate for the mental health needs of kids. And our biggest, there was Senate Bill 2, but our biggest bill was Senate Bill 1, and that was an act concerning childhood mental and physical health services in school. And we had I've never had a lot of input into the development of a bill until this year, and it was exciting and nerve-wracking, but they put together, and the writers of this bill put together an amazing bill that asked for, our biggest wish list was $21 million for school-based health, knowing that that would never come to light. That was our big, wish list item. Mm-hmm. But, sure. But the Senate and the House came back and said, we agree. We need more school-based health centers throughout the state, and we're willing to put money behind it. And they gave us $10 million for expansion of school-based health centers, primarily with a focus of mental health. But we could put, towns can decide to put in a fully comprehensive medical and mental health, school-based health center, and that still ticked the box. And so that's been huge. Never in my career have I ever seen so much money put behind school-based health centers. That's not in a typical budget line item.
So how does that translate into brand new entities being established, and how quickly do the wheels turn between development and cutting the ribbon and actually opening these centers to serve the students who need it most?
Sure. So so the wheels have been turning for months because we came together about a year ago as an expansion, what was called an expansion work group, and that came out of Senate Bill 1 a year ago. Instead of putting funding behind it, they said, you know, we really need a work group to kind of do an assessment of the state, where are the needs or the highest needs for a school-based health center. And so we developed a work group. Department of Public Health led that work group, and we came up with a recommendation of towns and schools that would benefit. And that went out. That was part of, you know, what legislators saw and recognized based off of all of the data that, that we put together. And so parent organizations that run school-based health centers already have had that list and are, were already talking to those towns and districts saying, these schools are on this list. There's potential funding coming down. We're not sure how much, but we'd love to start the conversation. So even before the bill got passed, those conversations started.
So with money in hand now, with the session being over and the deliverables coming to fruition, what is the net expectation of new centers you hope to see open out of this more than year-long targeting and growth effort?
So that's a really good question and a very hard question to answer.
Okay.
So we, through the expansion work group, identified 36 towns that really could benefit from school-based health centers, and then within those towns, certain sites. It will really come down to whether the districts want a school-based health center in those particular sites. And then there's, you know, an RFP or application process that the Department of Public Health will put out. And now we just wait for parent organizations to come to the table and apply for funding through that RFP process.
So more to talk about down the road, perhaps as early as convening again with you at the November conference. I don't want to let you go in the last 3 minutes or so that we have without reminding folks that they really don't even have to have a kid in school, although you also obviously would be interested in those parents and caregivers. They can go right to the website of your organization, ctschoolhealth.org, to access these wonderful testimonials from the students themselves that these centers have served. But they can also sign up for a series of webinars.
We do. We have a series of 9 webinars, all related to health and wellness of youth and adolescents, and they're for everybody. So providers, community partners, parents. So you don't have to fit into one category.
And it's no cost. They just have to sign up.
No, it is. There is a cost to it.
Okay.
There is a cost, and that's on our webpage as well.
But they can be accessed by anyone. They don't have to be an association member.
Absolutely.
Excellent. The other exciting event that's coming up that we should mark calendars for, if you are inclined to participate, is the annual conference in November.
So we have an annual conference at the Heritage Hotel and Conference Center on November 8th. It's a day-long conference. Our keynote speaker is Dr. Carrie Magro, And he is an award-winning autistic professional speaker and best-selling author. So we are super excited to have him as our keynote, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And then anyone who comes, who registers for our conference has 10 workshops to pick from, mm-hmm. 5 in the morning and 5 in the afternoon. And there's something for everybody, from school staff to community partners, parents, professional providers. So we are super excited. This is, I think, our 14th year.
And that's going to be at the Heritage in Southbury.
In Southbury.
Very good. Once again, if folks want to learn more about all the exciting things going on at school-based health centers, or to learn more about whether or not your community is one of those targeted by the work group for a potential installation of a school-based health center, or you just want to read some great testimonials from kids who have benefited greatly from them, perhaps sign up for one or more of the webinars, or learn more about the annual conference and all the other advocacy and work being done by the Connecticut Association of School-Based Health Centers, just go to ctschoolhealth.org. Their executive director has been my guest this morning, Melanie Wild-Lane. Melanie, great to chat with you. Thank you so much. And hopefully we'll be seeing you in November at the Heritage for your annual conference. Well, as we mentioned in the introduction, our final segment of the morning is going to talk a little bit about financial literacy. We are at the tail end of tax-free week, which means we're just about a week ahead of many schools in Connecticut reconvening, if not definitely over the next couple of weeks. And countless numbers of older students are now either on their way to or already firmly entrenched away at college and university. So we are so fortunate to be able to bring in Carl Casper, who's EVP and COO for Connex Nonprofit Credit Union, to talk a little bit about not only what Connex does as a good community neighbor, but also tapping Carl's expertise in providing you with a little bit more financial literacy, particularly targeting both younger and older kids as they go back to school, because no age essentially is too young to start learning about responsible money management. And certainly there are many ways that folks can trip up along the way and create very uncomfortable, if not problematic, issues for themselves and their families. So, Carl, thank you so much for giving us your time today.
Oh, you're welcome, John. No, I think, you know, go ahead, ask away.
Yeah.
I think you did a great setup, and I can speak to these things and for a lot longer than you have.
Well, the other point that I neglected to mention is that Connex Credit Union can not only help in terms of financial literacy and helping especially younger people be a little bit more financial savvy, but you also help send those kids to college with some scholarships, right?
That's true. Yeah. I mean, so one of the, you know, kind of cornerstones that I think we've missed over the last, you know, frankly, the last couple of decades is, you know, people just don't really understand, you know, where their money goes or how to handle their money properly. And this is specifically acute among, you know, our younger population. They don't really, you know, everything is a debit card, right? So it's easy. Yeah. You know, the money goes in electronically, you swipe it, it goes out. And we find that a lot of people just don't have those management skills that, I don't know, maybe you had to have when things were a little bit more manual.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of, work in the community with, frankly, people of all ages, because this isn't just a problem among the younger folks, you know, in our in our country. But it really, you know, extends across to, you know, people that you'd think, you know, would know better by now. So, you know, we endeavor to help them, and it can be as basic as, you know, helping them balance their checkbook. But even, you know, at some levels, and we do quite a bit of this, you know, help them build the budget. Right. Yeah. We have, you know, tools that we have available either at our sessions, or if someone visits one of the Connects branches, you know, our folks will work with them, and we've trained them to work with them. So what are you, you know, what are you taking in? And then what are you spending it on? What are you, you know, identifying all of those, you know, weekly, monthly expenses that, you know, get lost, and then, you know, helping them, we call it, you know, building a cash flow, but basically, you know, where do you want to be? What are your goals? And how can we figure out a way, given the you know, construct of your current situation, how to help you, you know, better your financial life? Mm. And so, you know, we've been doing that for years now, and you know, we've had some amazing success stories.
Yeah, well, like I recall back in the mid-70s when the first bank down the street installed its first automatic teller machine, and I had an account there and ended up getting a card to make it work. And my dad was like, "This is the end. This is going to be the financial ruin of young people and families forever and ever." Little did he ever know back then that these days all we'd need to do is go to virtually any kind of retail location, including those that don't even have wired connectivity to a bank, and be able to just tap our ATM card onto a little plastic box or wand it through a little plastic device and do our bank transactions on the spot. Or even worse, he would be rolling in his grave if he had lived to see the advent of mobile technology, and how you could essentially order anything from you know, a pizza delivery to a brand new car, or even potentially buy a house, all through your mobile device, almost without ever having to interact with a human being.
It certainly speeds the velocity of money through your account, right? Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can walk in, you're great point. You can walk into just about any, you know, any vendor in the country now. And, you know, if you have your smartphone with you, you double click it over the little receiver and, you know, you've paid.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with that technology though, also you have a powerful tool in your hands to manage your finances too, because
I was going to ask
you see real time.
Yeah, in the last,
you can see real time what's happening.
Yeah, 3 or 4 minutes that we have, Carl. If you could identify two or three of the biggest pitfalls that you see young people falling into once they are made partial or full stewards of their own financial management.
Well, I think the first thing, you know, and this is sort of bedrock, but it's understanding your credit score, right? And this is, you know, often overlooked, but you can get your credit score for free once a year from the three major agencies. And even if you don't have a whole lot on there, it helps you understand, you know, how that can impact and flow through the rest of your life.
Yeah, what you look like to the financial industry,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, and not just the financial. I mean, you need it, you know, if you want to rent an apartment,
sure.
If you want to
get a job.
You know, if you're right, your insurance, you know, insurance agencies review your credit reports. I mean, it's sort of a fundamental thing. But then, you know, just again, building that basic budget, right, and trying to stick to it. And, you know, certainly you want to build some money in there for fun, right? Because, you know, life isn't all about work and saving your money. It's about, you know, living your life. And so, but understanding what those boundaries are and trying to work within, you know, your own constraints so that you can, you know, save. Maybe it's for a new car. Maybe you're going to get married. Maybe you, you know, are planning a wedding. Maybe, you know, any number, maybe you're having a child, any number of those events. You know, you talked about scholarships, and that is true. We offer, several scholarships every year to our members, our family members of members. And, you know, that's one way we help. And recently, we created our own nonprofit called Connect Cares. And Connect Cares, we've always done charitable giving throughout the communities we serve, but now we're kind of stepping that up with this new organization that we've created internally here. And, you know, so we hope to expand those scholarship offerings. In addition, we're going to have a grant process that we're working on now where people out in the community, nonprofits particularly, that meet certain criteria can come to Connects and actually, write an application for a grant and we'll make donations. We've always done smaller donations, and we see this over the next 5 years, you know, morphing into something where we are able to you make a more sizable contribution. And, you know, we focus typically, in the markets we serve right now, we have a pretty heavy focus in New Haven. Recently hired a community development specialist to go out and work with these different agencies. And a lot of what we do, right, it's food insecurity, it's financial literacy, it's helping people get housing, particularly people that, want to buy a home in and around New Haven. We've developed some special programs to really, highlight that and to really help people that might not qualify through a traditional, mortgage underwriting process. You know, we're here to help them. So, and if they're, at some early stage of the game and maybe they don't understand what homeownership's about, or how to pay for it or, how they can manage it, that's where we could step in and help and really build from the ground up a program for them right. To get them ready to go. Yeah. And then get them into a home, hopefully.
And it all starts with membership. Connexcu.org is the website to go. connexcu.org to learn more about what Connex Nonprofit Credit Union can offer you, where you're not just a customer, but a member, a family member, really. Carl,
we've been serving New Haven for over 80 years. We have a lot of people that, I see them every day.
And generations.
They love being a member.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So circling back to the financial literacy and providing some important warnings for the pitfalls that tend to catch the most people and separate them from their money, or separate banks and credit unions from their money because the individual's protected. What are a couple of the biggest tips in the last couple of minutes that we have now that you can offer to people of any age, really, to help protect them from sometimes really genius scam artists and online predators?
Yeah, well, I mean, just a financial safety tip in general is never give your information to anyone over the phone. Never share any personal information via an email. Most financial institutions are never going to call you or write to you and ask you for that type of information. First step you can always take if you get an email or a call is, call your financial institution directly, because 99 times out of 100, it's not us or any other institution calling you or writing you. It's somebody looking to, somebody nefarious looking to, take your money from you. And, we've seen that quite a bit. And, one thing that we pride ourselves on is when we've worked with a lot of our members who have found themselves in that situation. And, in some cases we can help recover the money. And in many cases, it's not an option, but, first and foremost, protect your information. No financial institution is going to call you and ask you for it.
Very good. Well, we appreciate all the information and learning so much about how Connex Credit Union is working and broadening its scope of community engagement, financial literacy, your wonderful Coins for Change project to provide funds for nonprofits who qualify, providing all these financial literacy seminars and workshops on money management and more. as you've explained, for people who would like to get involved or just find out what Connex Credit Union might be able to do for you, just go to connexcu.org. Their executive vice president and COO is Carl Casper. He's been kind enough to chat with us this morning. Carl, thank you so much for your time. You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for an issue, a guest, or a PSA relevant to the audience and community served by our radio station, you must make a request for consideration in writing to me via email at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Join us again this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.